I recently read that you wrote a proposal that you call a common sense solution that could unleash $2 trillion in private sector dollars and wouldn't cost the taxpayers a penny. Talk about this proposal.
Yeah, and this is, we started talking earlier, Tony, about this level of regulatory burden just in the healthcare bill alone. So if you, let me put it in plain terms. If you hire Mike Rogers, say, Mike Rogers, I'm going to pay you $45,000 to do job A, and I'm going to hire you December 15th. Well, what happens, and that job would cost somewhere about an additional $12,000 for the employer to hire you. So they've got a total cost of about $57,000 for a $45,000 employee. Some can be a little higher, some can be a little lower. Well, what happens in January 15th? The problem is no one knows how much that employee will cost. And so what's happening is these businesses are not hiring. They don't know if it's going to cost them $60,000 for a $45,000 employee or even $62,000. They don't know. And just this year alone, in just one month, month of July of this year, $10 billion in new regulatory costs from the federal government to our small business community. It's been pretty rough on those folks. So what I've said is an absolute moratorium. Let's stop. Let's put government on a timeout so that for 2 years. So you can't. No business is going to have their taxes raised for 2 years. No business is going to have any regulatory burden placed on them in the next 2 years, so that they can get their take a breather and they can start to hire people to get back to work. If we put that certainty back, there is $2 trillion in private money sitting on the sidelines. So businesses are doing really well. And they're doing well because they're saving money and not hiring people and doing those kinds of things. And they're doing that because they have no idea what their costs are going to be with all of this uncertainty. So it's very simple. It is actually a one-page bill, and it would unleash that $2 trillion to get people back to work in every sector of the economy. And I think we ought to hustle and do it as quick as we can.
Where does that bill sit as we speak?
It has been introduced. We're gaining co-sponsors. Some have argued we should break it up and do it section by section. There are 28 bills that would complement this bill already passed the House and in the Senate. None of them have had action in the Senate. So my theory is if we can't do it all in one swipe, then you eat an elephant one bite at a time. So let's start getting, digging in. We've got those 28 bills. I would hope that the Senate would do something to get us moving in the right direction. So we've got 28 bills that would accomplish pretty much the same thing I did in my one-page bill.
We've got two more questions for Congressman Mike Rogers on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. A lot of concern about the strain that Europe is putting on the world's banks and how that could affect us here in America. What's your take on that?
Even as the intelligence chair, I watch those things closely, and I meet with CIA financial analysts regularly just to track it, because it could be a huge problem, because we do have U.S. bank exposure in Europe. And so this long, difficult fight in Europe, and by the way, which is really the argument about why the government can't spend as much as it does to try to do so much for so many, because there's very few left to pay for it, is exactly what's happening in Europe and why we're having the debate here at home and why it's ratcheted up. We can't afford to go down the path of Europe. It is pretty deadly stuff. So what we're hoping is that they can prop each other up. I mean, who thought that Germany would save Europe, some 100 years, 100 years after all the trouble they've been causing in the last generation? They're the key player in this because they're the most financially sound. They have the Europeans' largest economy. And they're trying to put together packages to help these countries get through. Their austerity measures are pretty strong, have to be. But if we don't get those things done and countries start to go bankrupt, Greece could make Portugal go, Portugal make Spain go. Of course, Italy is too big for even Europe to handle by itself. If Italy goes into bankruptcy, that's a huge problem for the United States. So we're watching all of it. It is a serious problem for us economically, and it'll mean that we're going to have slow growth, which means pretty difficult to get people back to work if we're walking down the same path that Europe has, spending more money than we take in. And oh, by the way, we've got no hope for a growth in our economy spur. It's all very, very concerning.
All right, finally, who should be the next president of the United States?
Well, I think the Republicans are going through a pretty rough and tumble primary, and most people say, oh, that hurts them going through. When we're done, we're going to have a pretty well-sounded-out candidate who will be able to contrast where this president has tried to take the country, and which is that European-style big spending, lots of programs that we can't afford, or the Republican model of getting people back to work, getting the government out of the way so small businesses can start hiring again. And I think for all the machinations and all the personality assaults here, that's going to gel early next year so that people will be able to start identifying with policies moving forward. And I think this president has benefited the last few months on Republicans focusing on themselves, because they haven't focused on his economic policies that haven't worked and I think had made things worse. So I think that'll really start to straighten out next year.
Well, you know what the Democrats are going to say? Here we go again. We're going to have another Bush clone in office should one of these candidates make it to the White House.
Well, if I were them, I would do everything I could about talking about George Bush or fairy dust or unicorns too, because what they have done has been deadly to the economy, deadly to our future. It's made us less safe militarily. They have racked up more debt in this term than all of the presidents of the United States combined, from George Washington to George Bush. That is some serious, serious trouble. You can't blame that on George Bush. You can't blame the fact that you stopped drilling and gas went from $1.87 when the president was sworn in to over $3.50, which kills the middle class. I mean, I hope that they try to do that. I think Americans have been fed up with that and want to understand what this president has done and what he's going to do. That's when they'll make their decision. And I think they'll look at what the Republican platform to getting people back to work is, and I think they'll be for it.
All right, Congressman, the next time you're in Lansing, as you did last time, let us know, and we'll get you some coffee and some water in here. Come on in the studio and hang out with us for a while.
Good. It's pretty good coffee. I like it. I like the fact that you burn the bottom of it a little bit. That's good old Army coffee.
All right, enjoy your day, Congressman.
Hey, thanks.